Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We're on message three on living a fruit-bearing life.
Amen.
Let's all read the title together, page 39 in your book.
Amen.
Being pruned by the Father to live a fruit-bearing life.
Amen.
Amen. My name is Ryan Pagel from Norman, Oklahoma. I'm a full-time working one, not serving. They let me in through the back door here to come and join you all. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Well, just as a matter of introduction, I was touched with Matthew 7:16 says, "By their fruit you will know them," right? So we can see, on the one hand, this was used in a negative sense for false prophets. You'll know the false prophets by their fruit.
Right.
Well, I think we can also apply this verse to us, right? You know, you contact someone, you know, you don't really know who they are, but you know them by their fruit.
Amen.
In a sense, others know how we are, even where we're at in our Christian life,
right,
by our fruit,
right?
Right? Our fruit is a manifestation of our walk with the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And I was touched, saints, with Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds, right? So on this, you have had an infusion of light, right, during this time, right?
Amen.
Have you seen something of God's economy?
Amen.
Have you seen something of Christ,
amen,
making his home in your heart?
Amen.
Right? Well, we need to, on the one hand, yes, we need to be those abiding in the vine and allowing the Lord to work himself into us. But on the other hand, we need to let this light shine.
Amen.
We need to let it shine.
Amen.
Right? So when you go back home and someone says, well, what did you do last week? Right? You can not just say, oh, I went to a little conference, you know. You can let the light shine, right?
Amen.
You can say, I enjoyed Christ.
Amen.
I learned that I'm a branch in the vine,
amen,
right? That God has an economy.
Yeah.
And this economy is all related to his vine.
Amen.
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 Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Saints, whatever a branch can do other than fruit bearing means nothing. So we are branches in the vine,
amen,
right? And our goal and our being set in this vine is to bear fruit.
Amen.
Let's read point one together. Ready? Go. We need to deal with the Lord to be new, fresh, and tender branches. We want to be the new, the fresh, and the tender branches, right? Saints, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation,
yeah,
right? And we are being made into the new Jerusalem. So God is new. God is the new one in the universe. And the footnote on 2 Corinthians 5:17 says the old creation does not have the divine life and nature. The believers are a new creation, not according to the old nature of the flesh, but the new nature of the divine life.
Amen.
Saints, you've received a new nature.
Yes.
This new nature is the divine life in your spirit,
amen,
right?
Amen.
We want to be those that are new and are living.
Amen.
Living by this divine life and this divine nature.
Amen.
We also want to be fresh, right?
Yeah.
So whereas new is related to our life and nature, we want to be those that are fresh.
Amen.
Right? So fresh is versus staleness, right? So I just looked up the definition of staleness, and it says, no longer fresh and pleasant to eat. Hard, musty, dry, and rancid. Lord Jesus, we don't want to become hard, musty, rancid in our Christian life, right? We want to be fresh. And finally, we want to be tender. So this is related to our heart. We want to have a tender heart. Tender, showing gentleness and concern or sympathy. Easy to cut or chew, not tough. The other a few weeks ago, I wanted to have a pork loin, and so I went to the store and I remembered having some pork loin that was so tender and it was so easy to cut. It was so fresh, so good, and so I went to the store and I got a pork tenderloin, or a pork. I got a pork loin, brought it home. It was this big thing, and I put it on the grill, and it took a lot longer than I thought to cook it. These pork loin, actually, it took about 3 hours to cook. And by the time I was done, I started cutting through it, and this was hard. So I was like, what's going on? This pork loin is not what I remembered. Actually, I was supposed to get the pork tenderloin. But the pork tenderloin is soft. Right, it's tender. It's easy to cut, right? Yeah. We want to be these kinds of ones, right? Amen. We want to have a tender heart.
Amen.
Toward the Lord.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Let's read point A together. For a branch to bear fruit, it must be new, fresh, and tender. The way to be new, fresh, and tender is to be pruned. So we say, well, I want to be new and fresh and tender. What is the way to be new, fresh, and tender? Well, it's to be pruned, right? And so we can see here in John chapter 15, 15:1 says, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. And then immediately after that, in verse 2, you know, usually when we think of John 15, we think of bearing fruit. We think of the Lord answering our prayers, right? That we pray whatever we will, and the Lord will answer our prayers, loving the other branches, right? Well, immediately after John 15:1, it doesn't talk about abiding, actually. Yeah. It doesn't talk about bearing fruit. Yeah. It doesn't talk about praying or loving. Actually, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Amen. Saints, we are those that are being pruned, right? Yeah. We're here. The fact that we're being here means that you're being pruned. Amen. So that means the Lord is working in us. Amen. So this is a good sign. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Amen. The fact that we have a burden and a desire to bear fruit means the Lord is pruning us, right? He's working within us. He's operating on us.
Amen.
The definition of pruning was touching. I looked it up. It says, it's the selective removal of certain parts of a plant, such as branches, buds, or roots. The reasons to prune include dead wood removal, shaping, improving or maintaining health, reducing risk from falling branches, and both harvesting and increasing the yield of flowers and fruits. Saints, we want the yield of our fruit to be increased, right? The practice entails the targeted removal of diseased, damaged, dead, non-productive, structurally unsound, or otherwise unwanted tissues of a plant or tree. So, what is pruning? Well, pruning is, you know, we are members of this vine, and you know, on a tree, you can have a lot of branches just kind of growing wildly, maybe around the tree, and some of the branches are bearing fruit. Well, these branches that are growing out are taking away from the branches that are bearing fruit. On the one hand, God's entire vine is this tree. But on the other hand, it is actually us ourselves. We each are in a sense, a tree. And we have branches sometimes going out, you know, kind of wild. And these need to be pruned back that we might bear more fruit,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
That we might bear much fruit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's read point B together. We must all go to the Lord to deal with Him. This is the meaning of being pruned. So we might think that the Lord will just, you know, come to us and just lop off these branches, right? Just come and chop them off. Well, that would be really easy. That would be nice. But actually, we need to go to the Lord,
Amen.
Right? Yes, the Father is the husbandman. He's pruning. But we need to cooperate with Him.
Amen.
We need to go to Him and deal with Him. And we might be a little scared of this word deal, right? What does it mean to deal with the Lord? Let's see what it means. So really, to deal with the Lord is just to open to Him. Lord Jesus, we want to be those that are open to You and dealing with You. So let's go ahead and read point one together. Whether we are old or new in the presence of the Lord depends upon our thorough dealing with Him. Amen. And point two, we must go to the Lord to have a thorough dealing with Him, opening ourselves and presenting ourselves to Him without any covering for the self. We should say, Lord, here I am. Come to me. Shine upon me. Amen. And let's read point three. All our worldly, fleshly, and natural desires, likes, attractions, and addictions need to be pruned. Then we will become fresh, new, and tender. Amen. Well, we can see kind of an aspect of pruning in the parable in Matthew chapter 13. And in Matthew 13, we have the seed being sown into the earth. And this earth represents the heart, right? So we want our heart to be one that is the good earth, right? That is able to receive this seed and bear fruit. And so in Matthew 13, there's three kinds of earth. Actually, there's four. There's the earth that's by the way, right? Then there's the rocky earth, right? Then there's the earth that has thorns. And then there's finally the good earth.
Right.
Oh, saints, we want to be the good earth.
Amen.
Right? The earth actually here represents our heart. Right? It represents our heart. And so we can see that the rocky earth, Matthew 13:5 says, others fell on rocky places where they did not have much earth. They had no depth of earth. Saints, we want to have a depth of earth for the Lord's word to take root in our being.
Amen.
And to grow, right? And to grow, we would bear fruit. The footnote there on Matthew 13:5 says, rocky places signify a heart that is shallow in receiving the word. In such a heart are rocks, hidden sins, personal desires, self-seeking, self-pity, which hinder the seed from taking root.
Wow.
Right? So the Lord likens these types of things to rocks in our being, right? So our being has rocks. I was working on a farm once, and we were kind of, you know, tilling the ground. And as we were tilling, these rocks just start coming up, right? We thought the ground would be great for sowing the seed, but actually the rocks just started coming up. We realized actually we had to spend a lot of time removing the rocks.
Yeah.
Before we could even sow the seed into the ground. So we don't want to be those with the rocky soil. Lord Jesus. Others fell on thorns. What are the thorns? Well, the thorns, it says here that the thorns came up and choked them. And this is he who hears the word, and the anxiety of the age and the deceitfulness of riches utterly choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful.
Wow.
Saints, we've heard a word today, right, during this week.
Yeah.
But we don't want it to be choked, right? We don't want it to be choked by the anxieties of the age, right? The deceitfulness of riches, right? Actually, riches are just a deceit, right? Riches are just a deceit.
Yeah.
The world is just a deceit. What we're hearing today is the truth.
Amen.
It's the reality.
Amen.
Saints, the anxiety of the age, right? You're all in college now, and you know you have anxieties, right, for sure. But as you grow older, maybe get married and have some kids, right? The anxieties, actually, they add up and they mount up, right? But we need to be ones learning.
Amen.
Right, to cast our anxieties on the Lord.
Amen.
Enjoying Him.
Amen.
Keeping our heart as the good earth, right?
Yeah.
That this seed would take root and that we would be fruitful branches in the vine.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. See, it's finally the good earth signifies, this is a footnote as well, the good earth signifies the good heart, not hardened by worldly traffic, without hidden sins, and that is without the anxiety of the age. Such a heart gives every inch of its ground that the word may grow, bear fruit, and produce even 100-fold. And so in this parable, we see that actually there's those that where the seed produced 30-fold, 60-fold, and even 100-fold, right? And so we can see that there's a degree to which the divine life can produce something in our being. Saints, we want to be those where this life would produce the most that it can, right?
Amen.
We want to be those that we give the full ground in our being.
Amen.
To the divine life.
Amen.
That it would produce more. It would produce more. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's read point two together. We need to deal with all the hindrances to have a living of bearing fruit. Let's have sisters on A. We do not need
to make up our mind to endeavor to bring someone to the Lord each year. Rather, we should all have a proper Christian life, a life with no distractions, frustrations, or addictions.
Amen. Lord Jesus. So I just wanted to look up the word, you know, addiction here and just see what does the dictionary say. And it says the state of being enslaved to a habit or practice or to something that is psychologically or physically habit-forming to such an extent that cessation causes severe trauma. Saints, we don't want to be addicted to anything but Christ, right? We want to be addicted to the Word, right? Oh, when we go a few days without the Word, without fellowship, oh, it would cause trauma, right? It would cause trauma in our being. Oh, I need fellowship. I need the Word, right? I need to receive the life flow. We don't want to have any kinds of addictions, whether it's social media, the internet, you know, gaming, whatever. Lord Jesus, the Lord can touch our being, and that we would be free of anything like this.
Amen.
Lord Jesus,
amen.
And this is actually is our work. So let's read. Let's have brothers on point B together. Ready? Go.
To make our preaching more work is more. We are not carrying out
a job in our preaching. We are living a life. Therefore, if anything hinders us in our fellowship with the Lord, we should say, Lord, prune this. I give you the freedom to cut it. Amen. Let's all read point C. We do not wish to encourage, charge, or stir up anyone to have a mere gospel preaching work. Instead, what we need in the Lord's recovery is for many dear saints who love the Lord and mean business with Him to constantly be one with Him. Amen. So we can see this in the parables mentioned, and it says that Luke 8:15. He who in a noble and good heart hears the word and holds it fast and bears fruit with endurance. Saints, to deal with the Lord, open to the Lord, sometimes it requires a little bit of endurance, right? The Lord shines on something and maybe we don't get through right away. We need to come back to the Lord, right? We need to contact Him again. We need to endure and be persistent in coming to the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And let's all read point D together.
Amen.
If we go along with the Lord's exposing and enlightening, we have a thorough dealing with Him, we will be fruitful. Amen. We will be fruitful.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
May we all be fruitful branches, right? Bearing fruit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for this matter of pruning. May we open to the Lord concerning this matter, right? And have a thorough opening to Him. Let's conclude this portion and just read the prayer on B2. Lord, here I am.
Amen.
Come, enlighten me.
Amen.
Shine upon me. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, yeah, we're gonna have several saints, DJ Smith and Anna. We're gonna give a testimony concerning the Lord's shining on them, right, enlightening them for the matter of fruit bearing.
Lord Jesus. Oh, I've been really blessed recently. My brother, who I didn't grow up in the church life, and my family didn't grow up in the church life. We were Christians, but just kind of like sort of irregularly going. So we've all moved around a lot recently, and none of my family really has a regular church life the way that I do. My brother, he and I were on a road trip recently, and he had a lot of questions because I was just enjoying so much. And so praise the Lord, he was open. So he started joining Enosh and I in our weekly appointment, and it was so sweet. We would go down to my house in Norman, where Josh and I were both living in Oklahoma City, so it's like 30, 45 minutes, and I'd bake something, and we'd have coffee and tea and fellowship, and it's just been really sweet. We've been going through the book of John, and I realized I know a lot about the Bible over the past 4 years, just kind of soaking everything up. And I've been through John before with Enosh, so I do know a lot. And most of people who have met me would agree when I say that I'm a bit of a know-it-all. You can ask any of the brothers in Norman. I love to win an argument. So praise the Lord, I have managed not to get in the way yet with my new one. But I was going through, so I realized the first couple weeks, we were reading through John, and I was pointing out this and that, and did you see this, and did you get this, did you realize this? This is so sweet. And all of these different, like, knowledge aspects. And then, like, a couple weeks later, I was in the morning revival, and the topic that week was shepherding. Oh, Lord. And it said the relationship between a parent and a child is one of nourishing and teaching. And so you start off, the child is very young, a baby, and it's 100% nourishing. There's no teaching when they're less than one. And as they grow up, you get more teaching and less nourishing as they get more independent. And so you have like maybe 90% nourishing and 10% teaching. And I was just convicted that my time with Josh was like 80% teaching and like 20% nourishing. And so the Lord just really shined on that. And even in that prophesying meeting, I confessed, I was like, Lord, I need to share more life when I'm with Josh, because life is what's going to keep him in the flow. Yeah. So the next couple of weeks, I made it a point to really enjoy Christ and to bring Christ into the meeting and to have Christ-filled atmosphere. And a couple of weeks later, he brought his girlfriend, who is agnostic, and her family had like no exposure to the church life. She just saw how much Josh enjoyed and how much Christ and God are important to our family. And so she wanted to come. She was really shy. And so I feel like we may have planted a seed if she didn't come back the next week. And then we came to the training. But praise the Lord, the seed is planted. Yeah. I just need, thank you, Lord, for this pruning. It was so important. I need to get outside of my knowledge.
Amen. Yeah, the more I grow, the more I realize that the Christian life is a life of pruning. Hallelujah. And I also realized that the heart is very sticky. And for about like 4 years, I've had like this love towards something that is not the Lord. And actually, I realized more and more pretty recently that like this thing that I love has even become like an idol that takes the place above the Lord in my heart. I would like lose sleep over this thing. And then, of course, because I lost sleep, I would lose my morning time with the Lord. And then because I lost my morning time with the Lord, I would lose my enjoyment throughout the day in the Lord. And then as a result, if I would speak to new ones, they would get nothing but myself, my old man. But I wouldn't trade this experience for anything, because it caused me to turn more to the Lord and to have more conversations with the Lord about dealing with this matter. And I was talking to a new one recently. We had an internship during the summer, and I met a new one with one of the brothers in the brother's house. And this new one was so positive. He was like, he would absorb everything we said, and like he would even ask questions. And then I was so excited, but because I had not been enjoying the Lord, because I was distracted, I couldn't see his need, and rather I over ministered to him. And you know, there's a verse in Exodus 23 that says, "You shall not boil a kid in its mother's milk."
That's right.
And I totally boiled him in the milk. Lord Jesus. So the milk should be for nourishing and feeding. But because I was distracted by this thing, I couldn't see his need to be nourished. And I, instead of feeding him with the word, it's like I forced a ham down his throat. And he died. And but luckily, that caused me to turn to the Lord again.
Amen.
And it caused me to keep turning to the Lord.
Amen.
And eventually, there was another new one I met during the internship, and now we're still in contact, and every day we're just texting, like, I'm taking it slow with him. Hallelujah. And I'm just texting, like, one verse back and forth almost every day. So, amen. Hallelujah for the pruning.
Amen.
Lord, keep pruning us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. My background, I came to like kind of a denomination, and they were a little less spiritual and a little bit more doctrinal. So a lot of things that I learned was really knowledge. And there was like, I remember once, like, I was like in this place, like in this like home, and they were telling me, they were like, you know, like, because like we were like listening to YouTube videos, because I think they were trying to make a point, and then they listened to one, and then there was this person who was praying to receive the Lord through the radio, and then they're like, yeah, yeah, it's all good, you know how the Lord reaches people, but you know, you can't really receive the Lord that way. And so I was like, that kind of stuck with me, because they were like, you know, you don't just cry and then say, okay, Lord, I want you. And I'm like, I don't know. So then I was just like, whoa. And so then when I met the saints, you know, I really loved them. And I was cherished a lot, and I came in. And then when we started to go out and preach the gospel, it kind of took some time for me to get in the club and stuff. But yeah, so I started coming, and you know, I started to gain more of the truth about God's economy and his dispensing, and it was just amazing. But I still kind of had this like little problem. Like when we would say, okay, like just lead them to pray, I was kind of like, are you sure they're going to receive the Lord that way? Like maybe they should just come, and then, you know, through time we can have, you know, Bible studies with them and then tell them the truth, you know. And I kind of had to like, I don't know, this like hindrance. And so, yeah, so I was in my home meeting once, and we were reading 1 John. And it's just this really sweet book. Here, hold on. Sorry. And so, sorry. And so the verse is John 4:2. For everything that has been begotten of God overcomes the world. Amen. And this is the victory which has overcome the world, our faith. Yeah. And so we were fellowshiping a little bit about this. And the footnote on begotten of God says, both in his gospel and his epistle, John stressed the divine birth through which the divine life is imparted into the believers in Christ. This divine birth, which brings in the divine life, is the basic factor of all the mysteries concerning the divine life, such as the fellowship of the divine life, the anointing of the divine Trinity, the abiding in the Lord, and the divine living that practices the divine truth, the divine will, the divine righteousness, and the divine love to express the divine person. The divine birth with the divine life is also the basic factor in this section. And so it assures that God begotten believers, giving them confidence in the ability and virtue of the divine life. And so I was just really struck, and I turned to one of the sisters, and I was like, does this happen when they receive the Lord? And she was like, yeah. And I was just struck, because like the whole, it just made sense, you know, like just that fact that, you know, like you really receive the Lord. And I had all these dead concepts that needed to be pruned and cut off. And I was just so thankful, you know, like the brother was sharing, you know, we need to come to him. And it's hard to be dealt with him, because sometimes you want to admit that you're right. But he's so faithful to prune all the oldness away. Amen. And make you fresh. Amen. Lord, keep us in your light.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
About 9 years ago, when Brother Andrew Yu shared the crystallization study of Book of Acts, and he gave some illustration that I was really struck. And then, you know, when a believer comes to the meeting, you know, like Lord's Day meeting every month, every Lord's Day, and yeah, that's very good. And the prayer meeting, you know, like, you know, a new one says, oh, I come to the prayer meeting once a month. Well, it's not bad. It's better than not coming at all. But when a new one says, oh, I preach the gospel once every year, oh, that's good, you know. But actually, The normal way of Christian life is preaching the gospel every moment, living a gospel life. You know, this time is not about, you know, like forcing you to, okay, you need to go preach the gospel. No, this is a time for us to open to the Lord, make us willing to deal under the light. It's not a matter of make a resolution. You know, resolution is for us to break, not to keep. So just open to the Lord's divine shining. Yeah. Let the Lord shine on you. Regarding the matter of the life with no distractions, frustration, and addiction. And those who have a Bible, how about open up Luke chapter 13, verse 11. And you might wonder why I'm asking to read this verse. And ready? And
behold, there was a woman who had the spirit of infirmity 18 years, and she was bent double and could not stand erect at all.
You know, by the way, my name is Enosh Kim. I'm from church in Norman. I'm serving on campus. And every single day, whenever I go to campus, I see this woman bent double on the campus. You know who they are? Those who are watching, looking something on the smartphone. They're always bent down. They cannot stand still because they're just always occupied. You know, this is a summary of distractions, frustration, and addiction. And also, I also serving young people. It's very interesting. The first question whenever they visit the saints and spending a night, you know what their first question is? Yes. What's the password for your Wi-Fi? You know what that is? That's addiction. They can't sleep without watching something. Do you think the Lord can flow out while you are watching YouTube on your cell phone? Do you think the Lord can flow out and then overflow the divine life? Fruit bearing is not about gospel preaching. Fruit bearing is overflow of divine life. When the life is hindered by something or matter, person, do you think that the new ones, unbelievers, will be saved by your speaking? Yeah, everyone does not want to speak. You know, who wants to speak to stranger? Unless you are blessed by the Lord, you know, like not an introverted person, you might just like to talk. And that's your natural disposition, which is something that you need to deal with the Lord. But most of us, I guarantee that all of us are introverted, not wanting to talk to person. But you know what? We have this divine life. I really enjoyed a brother sharing, you know, Galatians 2:20, not I, but Christ, right? Amen. We are crucified with Christ. We let the Lord flow out and overflow the riches of Christ. And then the Lord has the way. And then even like, you know, this story in the Luke 13, the Lord laid his hand on her and then she could be healed. Amen. By bent double. Amen. Well, again, remember, whenever you are about to watch something and look at something on your smartphone, remember this woman. This woman has a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. How many years you are possessed by the spirit of infirmity? How many years are we occupied by something which is not necessarily from the Lord? So we need to pay the price. Amen. But you know what? Once we pay the price, the Lord can have a way to flow out. Amen. The first thing, it might not necessarily from the things which is related with the gospel. Maybe the Lord may touch you. Like Lord, you know, we might pray, Lord, save this man and save this this young woman. Maybe the Lord pray back, I want to save you.
Yeah, right.
I want to save you from your hair. I want to save you from being addicted on your cell phone, you know, this idle phone. Now, I want to save you from playing computer game. What is this? And even like the young people nowadays do not know how to communicate each other. I'm not even speaking about fellowship in spiritual term. I'm just talking about a secular word. They don't even know how to communicate to one another. Why is it? Because of Satan possessed man.
Right.
Make single every young people like this woman possessed by the spirit of infirmity. She could not stand still. She could not look up to heavens. What she does all the time is look down the world. Seeing herself, introspection. Oh Lord, have mercy on us.
Amen.
Save us from the spirit of infirmity.
Amen.
Lord, deal with us.
Amen.
Make us willing to be pruned.
Amen.
this is what it talks about, you know, destruction, frustration, and addiction.
Right.
So again, saints, whenever you're about to see this phone again, remember this woman, a spirit of infirmity, possessed her for 18 years.
Yeah.
How many years are you possessed? Well, I never saw a person who was possessed by demon. I know, like, third world country. And I wonder why, you know, the affluent country like United States, we don't see many people are being possessed literally by demon. You know why? Because Satan does not have to possess men literally. Because all the young people are possessed by something. Are you possessed by the new Nike shoes? And then the Lord wants to deal with you. Just open. Again, it's not a matter of making a resolution. Okay, Lord, I'm going to just burn away all my 10 pairs of shoes and follow you. No, resolution is for us to break, not to keep, okay? Just open to the Lord shining. Lord, what do I have? I don't want to be bare. I don't want to be barren, you know.
Yeah.
The condition, especially in the Lord's recovery, and Brother Andrew had a strong point. You know what we have? We are dead. We're barren, and we're aging. It's not the problem of the church life, it's the problem of the whole world. You know, I went to the Germany. A serious problem that they have, society has not right now, is young, you know, couples do not want to have babies. They do not want to have it. Why? Because it's inconvenient, which leads to our point three. How about leading together, point three?
We need to deal with our natural disposition to become flexible in caring for people.
So, you know, caring for the people is inconvenient, to be honest.
That's right.
But I'm so thankful that your parents shepherd you, nourish you, feed you out of inconvenience.
Amen.
And then, you know, I have two children, one 4 years old, she turned 4 years old yesterday, and another one is 1.5 year old. You know, and I never met any single young couple saying that, oh, I wish I couldn't have a baby, you know, I wish I could have children. No. Well, it's not easy, you know, to be honest. It's not easy to raise up the younger one, children, but they never regret it from having children. What if your parents says, oh, man, I wish I could not have you? How terrible it is, yeah. I'm so glad that none of my parents said it to me. None of my parents told me, well, I wish I could have you, you know. No. Praise the Lord that we have such a parents, you know, who are willing to pay the price, becoming flexible and caring for the people. Let's read point A. We must all be tested by the church life, by fruit bearing, and by lamb feeding, because they are
the three matters that
kill our natural disposition. As persons who have been dealt with our natural disposition, we will be flexible. And Brother Kerry Robichaud, when I was in the training, he asked a question to Brother Lee. So Brother Lee, what is a sign of transformation?
Mm-hmm.
And then Brother Lee said two words, being flexible. This is a sign of transformation. It's not a matter of being loose, you know, I'm flexible so I can just do whatever I feel. No, being flexible is actually more restrict than being loose. So we need to be flexible, and also we need to test. Do you go to the church meeting on Lord's Day? Amen, that's good. Prayer meeting, good. So we passed 1/3 of the test, right? But it's only 33%. You know, it's a fail. It's still a failing grade. Fruit bearing. Do we have a fruit bearing life? If we do, that's great. It's still 66%. Not even C, right? Still failing. Another one is a lamb feeding.
Amen.
So this is like a complete pie. You know, if we just go to the meeting, church meeting, yes, 33%, 1/3, we made it. Praise the Lord. If we just bear the fruit, 66%. But if we have a lamb feeding, shepherding the younger one, this is how we are dealing with our natural disposition. I will ask Sister Caitlin Stuner coming up to share her experience of caring for the young people. And while she's coming up, how about reading the point B?
To bear fruit among our relatives and schoolmates requires us to be flexible.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm from Norman as well. So there's a sister that's about 2 years younger than me. I've grown up with her. I've known her for about 13 years. So we have a very human, natural friendship. We know each other very well. And after True School, about a year ago, she had stayed with me in hospitality, actually. And during, that was my last True School, which was last year, I had had surgery, actually. So that was a really hard True School for me. And she had stayed with me in my house while I was in surgery. We were True School companions. And during the True School, we had tried to open up to each other and realized that we had only a natural relationship and that we didn't have a spiritual relationship. And so praying together was actually hard. And we realized that that was a problem. And so we tried to exercise to start praying together when True School finished. School starts up. We still haven't done it yet. And the Lord bothered me that the only time that we could do it was before she went to school. But I wasn't awake by then. And I told the Lord, but I don't want to wake up. And so it required me waking up an hour earlier than I normally did. And so for a month, I ignored what the Lord was telling me and kept sleeping in. And by the end of that month, I was so bothered that I was valuing my sleep over cherishing this sister. And so I started waking up early, and I'm not a morning person at all. but I exercised. I called her, and we would pray, and we would have morning revival. And as the weeks went on, we started opening up things and pushing through barriers that we had had and really breaking through some very serious matters that we had, even with each other, actually. And the Lord, I don't know, the Lord, I really value that. And I don't know, I needed to be pruned. I was valuing my sleep. I was just wanting a natural relationship. And I really appreciate that the Lord was so exposing. And I don't know. Anyways, Lord Jesus, amen. Lord, really expose us. Amen. Lord, we'd be willing to be pruned by you. Amen. Lord, we would be so flexible for you.
Amen.
Amen. I have another burden on point C. How about let's read together?
We should not speak of inconvenience or say that we do not have time.
I guess this message, you know, I should be a little bit bad guy, you know, to prick you, bother you, to see how abnormal our Christian life is. I've been serving, you know, full time on the campus for years, and I learned the secret. Especially freshmen, whenever they, you know, I made a first week of school, you know, try to set up the Bible study and reading the Bible. Hey, would you like to read the Bible? And they say, oh, sorry, I'm so busy. I don't have time. I took it literally, you know, my first year. You know what I learned? The secret behind that word? I don't have a heart.
I'm so busy.
I don't have time. But I do have time to watch football game, you know, driving 3 hours down to Dallas the whole weekend. But I don't have time to read a Bible five minutes a day. I'm sorry. I'm so busy, but I play game until 3 a.m. I'm so busy. I don't have time to, you know, like read a Bible. That's one chapter, which takes 7 minutes. So now, you know, when I go to campus, whenever the freshman said, I'm sorry, I'm busy. I don't have time. And I took it as, okay, you don't have a heart. Saints, do we have a heart? Do we have a heart for the Lord?
Wow.
Are we here just to mere to improve ourselves? But are we here to touch the Lord's burden? And His burden is to for us to bear the remaining fruit. This is a normal way. Saints, don't say, especially college students, don't say that I'm busy. You do have time. You do have heart for the Lord. You do have time to read a Bible. You do have time to have a morning revival.
Right.
This is a normal way to bear the remaining fruit.
Amen.
I want to also give a before doing that, how about Sister Deborah? Could you come up? And then, meanwhile, so I want to conclude with how, what it means normal, you know, normal way of fruit bearing after her sharing.
Amen. Amen. So I'm Deborah from Denver, Colorado. And when I started college, one of the sisters encouraged me to go to the Young People's Conferences to help care for the young people, because we have a shortage of serving ones of sisters in Denver. And so I didn't just want to go because someone told me to. So I just brought it to the Lord in prayer and said, Lord, if you want me to go to this conference, you have to give me a burden for the young people.
Amen.
And so the Lord really, I felt a strong response that the Lord wanted me to go, and he gave me a burden to care for them. But in my first conference, I thought that I was encouraging the young people to speak after the meetings, and I thought I was shepherding them. And afterwards, two of the sisters were talking to someone else about their speaking after a meeting, and they said, well, Deborah made me. And I just felt really exposed that it was me trying to do something in myself, and it was me thinking that I knew what they needed to be doing and being independent and not just relying on the Lord. And so the next college the next Young People's Conference, we had a fellowship in coordination with the serving ones beforehand. And one of the brothers was sharing about shepherding and about the burden for the young people being just to care for them. And I was just touched, like, the Lord is the shepherd of our souls.
Amen.
And if the God of the universe can care about my soul, then can't I care about the souls of these young people and not just care about them exercising in the meeting one time, you know, speaking? And so naturally, I like to do things, and I don't like to do things with other people. I'm very independent. And so I was just touched by this with the Lord. And so this past summer school of truth, I'm doing a full-time internship, and I have an online class, and I was very busy, and I took the little time I had to go to the meetings with these young people, and there were some sisters staying in my home. And so one of these young sisters, she's been having a rough time with her family situation, and I've just been really burdened for her lately. I've been praying with her, praying for her with my companion, and I just had a little opportunity one of the evenings to spend some time one-on-one with her, and I had been burdened that she could read a booklet, A Time with the Lord, and I gave her a booklet because I wanted her to read it, and I thought, okay, I gave it to her, then she'll read it. It'll be good. But during this time, I realized I should read it with her and spend some time with her, and so in reading this booklet with her, she told me afterwards she was really touched by what we read. And I was so encouraged just by taking that time to put myself aside, to spend this time with her one-on-one and opening to the Lord. He had a way to speak to her. And even a couple weeks ago, one of the sister's friends was telling her that she seemed different lately and was asking her why. And her response was, I'm a man. I'm the meaning of the universe. And I was so encouraged when we just open to the Lord and we just give him a little room in our being to deal with us and just let him be the one shepherding and carrying us, then he has a way to touch those around us.
Thank you. This is such encouraging.
Amen.
So this illustration has really helped me a few years ago in team reunion. A brother, Jose, gave this example. So let's review. Okay. So let's say you are the only Christian in the whole earth. So there's one Christian here. Praise the Lord. He's saved, regenerated, and he has a burden to bear the remaining fruit. So in this book, The Normal Way of Fruit-Bearing and Shepherding for the Building of the Church, it says that Brother East mentioned, you know, it's normal to bear one fruit a year. So let's say he endeavored to bear remaining fruit, and then he bear one fruit next year. Praise the Lord. Now there are two Christians in the whole earth. And then those two brothers or sisters, you know, praying together, loving together, and then they bear another fruit. So now there are four Christians in the whole earth. Praise the Lord. So it seems small. So let's say, I think it's 5 billion, right? There are 5 billion on this earth right now. 7 billion. Okay, sorry. Wow. But I think it doesn't matter. So, you know, like, this is exponential, right? The first year, 2 to 0, right? And this first year, it started with 1. And then after year, 2 Christians, right? So, you know, laboring, fruit-bearing, you know, overflowing the divine life, dealing, pruning. And then now, there are 4 Christians. And then can you guess how many years it takes to populate the entire earth, make all people as Christians?
No.
So I made a calculation. I did a 5 times 10 to the 9, but I think it's very close anyway. So in a math class, right? You remember? log 2, 7 to the 10 to the 9. It takes 32 years. Can you believe that? This is a normal way that I'm talking about. This is a normal way that Brother Lee is talking about. It doesn't take that long. It takes 32 years. Do you think the Lord will not come back if we bear the remaining fruit year after year? Just one fruit. I'm not talking about saving 5,000 people like in the book of Acts. This is a normal way to bear the remaining fruit. It only takes 32 years, saints. How many students you have on your campus? At OU, about 20,000 plus. Now, how many years would it take to propagate the word of God and making every single student a disciple and then loving the Lord and bearing the remaining fruit? Saints, it's not impossible. This is a normal way that the Lord provided to us. Praise the Lord for the word of God. Praise the Lord for the ministry to present to us to carry out the Lord's burden.